Welcome in, everybody. It is Wednesday, September 9th, 2020. Welcome into the Fantasy Phenoms podcast. Justin Herforth alongside Andrew Cook. Andrew, how are we doing today?
I'm excited. Football's coming up, baby. Let's go.
That's right. About one day until kickoff. Kansas City Chiefs defending their Super Bowl title, taking on the Houston Texans in a rematch of the AFC divisional round where, you know, the Texans, they were up 24-0 in the second quarter. Not a big deal. They were feeling pretty confident, looking like they're going to the AFC title game. No. KC comes roaring back, wins by 20 in almost improbable fashion. So I'm really excited to see what that matchup has in store for us tomorrow. I think it's a great way to kick off the season. And I'm just looking forward to seeing some live football at this juncture. So I'm really excited for that. Before we get started on today's show, make sure you follow us on social media, especially on Twitter, at the FF Phenoms. You can follow myself at Justin Herforth, and you can follow Andrew at Phenom AC. Like we said, one day till kickoff. Andrew, what are you most excited to see in week one?
Honestly, I'm most excited to see the running back battle. I want to see what CEH does for these Chiefs. Are they just going to get him going right away, and is he instantly going to be in the first couple drives, or are they going to kind of mix it up a little bit with their running backs and ease him in? I really want to see what's going on there. And then on the Texan side, David Johnson, I want to see, how's he look? Because he looked kind of slow last year. I want to see how he looks this year. Is he ready to play? Is he going to be a key point in that offense, or is it going to be more Duke Johnson in terms of fantasy relevance? So we'll see.
Yeah, I think you basically hit the nail right on the head there. I love seeing like the old faces in new places kind of thing. I'm really excited to see what David Johnson can do. There's a lot of speculation that, oh, he's washed up. A lot of reports out of camp are saying he looks really good. He looks healthy, and that could potentially be a huge benefactor for the Houston Texans, a huge asset for Deshaun Watson going into the season. So I'm really excited to see what that has in store, especially for this matchup tomorrow night. And we're actually going to start our matchup breakdowns right now, and we'll start with that Texans-Chiefs game. So Chiefs tomorrow are 9-point favorites. It's a 54.5-point over-under. So pretty strong point in the margin here. So they're expecting quite a bit of scoring tomorrow night, which more times than not in a season opener, you typically do see defense dominate a little bit more than offense, because offense can be a little rusty with timing and everything. So it's a little surprising to see that. Hopefully Vegas is right with that. I know Vegas, typically they hate losing money, so they usually have a pretty good read on these things. So I'm hoping they're right here. I'm a guy, I always love going over, but I'm not too sure with this one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect the Texans defense to be how they were last. I mean, they lost DeAndre Hopkins. This is one of the best wide receivers in the league. While I think they're going to be really good, I don't see them being able to compete with the Chiefs in this game in terms of offensive production. I think the Texans might get off to a slow start. Again, they have new pieces. Will Fuller's filling in as the one here. Hopefully he can stay healthy for the whole game. And Randall Cobb's going to see more action. Kenny Stills. And hopefully David Johnson provides. But I see the Texans at least struggling a little bit in being able to keep up with the Chiefs here.
100%. The Chiefs, they basically have almost every single one of their skill position players. They have the ability to take it to the house each and every time they have their hands on the football. So that's a huge advantage for KC there. I feel like if Houston is to score a touchdown on any drive, it's going to have to be somewhat of a methodical drive, unless they hit a big bomb to Will Fuller or something like that. Brandon Cooks is a little banged up, so you don't know if he's going to play. And if he does play, like what percent he's going to be at there. So like you said, Randall Cobb's going to get a little bit more involved. Kenny Stills, just comparing those two skill position sets, it's not even close. Obviously, KC is far and away the better offensive team, hence why the line is so heavily in favor of the Chiefs tomorrow night. But Andrew, who are some guys you like in this game for fantasy?
Well, I'm definitely playing both running backs on either side. You're starting CEH every single week, most likely. David Johnson is probably a mid-tier RB2 play for me this week against the Chiefs. I do worry about a scenario where they have to just pass a lot in this game, and Duke Johnson gets a lot of touches and is mostly in the backfield for passing work. So David Johnson is still mid-tier RB2, so you're probably going to be starting him. In terms of wide receivers on the Texans side, honestly, personally, if I could not play any of these guys, I would. If you can just wait and see who emerges. But if you do want to take that shot, I'll play Will Fuller. Mm-hmm. If Brandon Cooks is active, I'm still not playing him over Will Fuller there. The only one I would consider starting in this game is Fuller.
I completely agree. So if I'm reading this correctly, I'm probably going to be starting three players, if at all, from the Texans. You got Deshaun Watson, David Johnson, and potentially Will Fuller, probably as a flex option or wide receiver three.
Yep, that's it for me, yeah.
And on the Chiefs side, I'm looking mainly, obviously, you're going to start Patrick Mahomes. You're going to start CEH. If you're in a very deep league, maybe you consider like a Darrell Williams as like a flex option. If you're in like a 14 or 16 team league, you need someone to just kind of throw in there. Maybe Darrell Williams get you a few points. Obviously, they're not going to give Clyde Edwards-Helaire the full workload in week one, so it might be more of a 50-50 timeshare. And if they're up big, they're going to be running the ball a lot more. So maybe Darrell Williams falls in for a touchdown. So that's kind of a high-risk, high-reward kind of play there in a deeper format. Wide receiver-wise, you're going to be playing Tyreek Hill. After that, it's a little bit of a toss-up. It's, like I said before, these guys, they can take the ball to the house. Any given play, they get the hands on the ball. Like Mecole Hardman, obviously, is a prime example of that. Last year, he had a couple games where he had one catch, and that was a long touchdown. So it's a make-or-break thing for him. If I have a choice, I'm probably not going to go with one of those guys as the skill position. Same thing with like Sammy Watkins. We've seen Watkins last year. Week one blew up. Was one of like the hottest names in fantasy football for a few weeks because he was that hot week one, and he really didn't see that kind of production the rest of the year. So I'm staying away from him as well. Obviously, Travis Kelce, you're going to fire him up. So surefire guys, I'd say there's only three or four guys on the Chiefs that you're looking to start 100% like confidently. Yep, this guy is going to be a stud for me. That's Mahomes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce.
Yeah, and I just keep an eye out for who Mahomes looks to as his second wide receiver in this game. You know, last year we saw flashes of Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, and obviously Mecole Hardman. It's possible that this year with the extra training camp, maybe Mahomes has established some sort of rapport with another wide receiver here. So at least just keep an eye on that, because if a second wide receiver does kind of establish themselves, obviously they're going to be a very valuable fantasy asset. So I would pay attention to that. And in terms of defenses, personally, I'm starting the Chiefs defense. This is only because there's not a lot of better options on the waiver wire. And I like the idea of the Texans starting a bit slow and not scoring quite as many points in this game. I think their upside's kind of capped with David Johnson. So, and who knows, you know, it's the first game of the NFL season. There might be some turnovers even on both sides.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, like, we're going to pick the games here as well today. So who do you have today for this game, Andrew?
I think I'll take the Chiefs at home.
Okay, so we're both going to go with the Chiefs here. We're going to try to keep track of this all season long and see who has the better record overall.
All right.
So moving on to the next matchup, we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the Washington football team. When I was typing this out in our show doc, it felt really weird. I typed Eagles at football team. It just sounds and it weird. Looks very strange to me. But in this one, Eagles are 6-point favorites. And it's a 42.5 point over under. So not quite as high scoring as some of the other matchups this week. I'll start on the Eagles side. So on the Eagles side, obviously, I'm loving this, the Carson Wentz start, Miles Sanders. I love Deshaun Jackson this week as well. If you have Deshaun Jackson, if you're in any sort of debate between like starting Deshaun Jackson and X player, 9 times out of 10, I'm probably going to say Deshaun Jackson in that situation because I love his outlook for this week. We saw last year, week one against Washington. He went ballistic when he was healthy with Carson Wentz. They have great chemistry together. And Deshaun Jackson has notable history of torching NFC East teams, and he's got fresh legs. So I'm going to ride with Deshaun Jackson there. And obviously you're going to start Zach Ertz, and maybe if you're like kind of thin at the tight end position, didn't get anybody, maybe Dallas Goedert could be a spot start for you as well. Because there are some skill position players out for the Eagles. Alshon Jeffrey, maybe Jalen Reagor is going to be out. I know he's practicing today. So maybe Dallas Goedert could be a sneaky start for you.
Yeah, and Eagles also are the favorites. Yeah. Oh, the defense is a great play this week. And I mean, they are favored by 6 points. I would put a note on this game. I think it is going to be pretty close. I mean, look, they have Terry McLaurin. They're at home. Washington, I mean, it's a division game. I do not expect the Eagles to blow Washington out of the water here. I think it's going to be a pretty close game. I am going to take the Eagles in the win, but I could see a scenario where Washington upsets them in this game. I doubt that you feel the same way, but I could easily see a scenario where, you know, the Eagles just struggle with their injuries right now. And Dwayne Haskins, he might not have the hottest start, but they just kind of scrapped together a win. This could easily be pretty low scoring. I mean, it's a 42.5 point over under, so it's pretty low compared to some of the others. But the Washington side, who are you looking to start?
Washington side, if you're really, really desperate at quarterback, maybe a two quarterback league, maybe Dwayne Haskins could be kind of a sneaky start there. I kind of feel pretty solid about him. I know his last four games, he looked pretty solid. He had one of the better pass ratings in all of football, so I'm not going to leave that unnoticed there. So Dwayne Haskins, maybe you could spot start him at the running back.
I wouldn't take the shot this week.
I mean, if you're in a two quarterback and it's kind of deep, I would definitely take the shot. If you're in a single quarterback league, I'm not even considering it at that point. But maybe someone to keep an eye on for maybe a streaming option down the line this season. Running back wise, I'm going to start Antonio Gibson, especially in a PPR format. I think he's going to get a ton of work. If you're reading the reports that J.D. McKissic is the starter, that's basically full of crap. he's not going to be the starter, like full-time bell cow kind of player. Antonio Gibson's going to win like the lion's share of carries there. So I feel pretty good about him, especially in a PPR format, because he's going to catch a ton of balls from Dwayne Haskins. Skill position wise on the outside, I'm probably just going to be starting Terry McLaurin here. No one else really intrigues me from a perspective of, at least for fantasy for week one. I'm not taking a shot on anybody deeper than Terry McLaurin. I'm not going to overthink it. McLaurin, I think he's a surefire wide receiver two this week at the very worst.
Yeah, McLaurin, personally, it depends when you drafted. I'm obviously starting McLaurin. You probably got him even as a flex option, so you might have a decision to make there. But for Antonio Gibson, if you drafted, you know, a week ago, a couple weeks ago, you have him sitting on your bench and you don't have to play him this week. I would personally choose that route if you can, because he is going up against the Eagles and they have a very good defense in terms of stopping the run. So I would like to sit Gibson. I'm not super confident, even if he's the bell cow here, which he should be getting a lot of the touches. I would rather sit and wait a week if I have, you know, for example, if you have Antonio Gibson, are you playing him over David Johnson in the Thursday game?
I'm probably not going to do that, but likely where you drafted him, you probably have the option to play him as a flex. So that's pretty tempting for me. I'm like, if you give me an option like DeSean Jackson or Antonio Gibson, I'm going to go DeSean Jackson because I know that huge upside is there for DeSean. But in a lot of cases, if you give me like some sort of mediocre option as a flex,
sure,
I'm going to go Antonio Gibson every single time there.
Yeah, sure. He does provide a bit of upside, and there really isn't a reason that Washington wouldn't give him the work. I mean, they need to see what they have in Dwayne Haskins this year. Why not see what you have in Antonio Gibson? They know McLaurin's going to be a stud. So, all right, let's. Predictions for the game. I said the Eagles.
Eagles.
Okay. All right. Of course, we're not biased or anything, but
no, never.
You know. All right. Seahawks, Falcons. Seattle is currently the favorite by 1.5. Wait, 1.5 points, right?
Yep, yeah. 1.5 points, yep.
They're 1.5 point favorites, 48.5 point over under. This should be a really good game. I'm actually really excited for this game. This might be one of the best games of the week, honestly. These are going to be two really good offenses.
And I'm going to take the over here. If I'm a betting man, I think I'm going to go over.
Yeah, I mean, are you as excited for this game as me? I think there's a lot of fantasy-relevant players in this game.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think there's a lot of surefire guys. You're going to plug and play. Why don't you start on the Seattle side, Andrew? Who do you like?
Yeah, so for Seattle, Russell Wilson, you're starting him, especially in this matchup. It should profile to be pretty high scoring. There's going to be a lot of passing volume. You're starting Russell Wilson. Running back, Chris Carson, I'm throwing him right out there. And then wide receiver wise, I'm playing Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. And DK Metcalf. I'm playing both wide receivers here. That's probably it.
What about the tight ends? There's two somewhat, like, I think two very talented guys, but obviously they're splitting the time. You got Greg Olsen. You got what's his name? Will Disley. He's coming back once again.
I mean, yeah, if you want to take the shot, that's fine. Personally, I think there's much better tight ends. Like, for example, play a guy like Jonnu Smith, play a guy like Noah Fant, you know, or the other tight end in this game, Hayden Hurst. I would much rather play those guys over taking the shot on Disley or Olsen. But that's who I'm starting from the Seahawks side. Then the Falcons side, are you confident in playing Gurley this week?
I actually am. So week one, if you've been like following me at all, I'm not a huge Todd Gurley guy for this season. But for week one, I feel especially confident. I think they're going to make it a focal point to get him involved. They're going to want to establish the run early and often with him. He's going to get involved in the passing game as well because he's basically the lone back there. I don't really like any of the backups there with like Brian Hill, Ito Smith. They're mediocre options at this point. So I think they're going to ride or die with Todd Gurley this year, and make sure you play him. He's likely your RB2 on your roster, maybe even a flex if you went heavy at running back to start your draft. So I feel pretty confident with him. Wide receiver-wise, 100% locked and loaded. Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, make sure they're in your lineup. It's not a question about it. And tight end, Hayden Hurst, he's one of my sleepers, and he was my fantasy phenom for the tight end position for this season. So, yeah, you're going to make sure you fire him up in there, take it over that Austin Hooper role. Hooper saw almost 100 targets last year, and those targets got to go somewhere. Matt Ryan loves a tight end. We've seen it throughout his entire career, and I don't think it's going to stop with Hayden Hurst.
Yeah, and in terms of defenses for both sides, I'm probably not playing either defense here.
Agreed.
I could see an argument being made for the Seahawks with the, you know, exciting acquisition of Jamal Adams, but I'm still not going to play them in this matchup. Should be high scoring. It's just... There's much better options that you can turn to here. So let's move over to the Jets and Bills. You want to break that one down for us?
Who do you have in the Seahawks-Falcons game?
Seahawks-Falcons game, oh, man, I'm really tempted to take the Falcons at home. And I think I am. I'm going to take the Falcons at home.
Oh, I thought I was going to be the lone wolf there. I picked the Falcons as well.
This yeah, is, I'll take
kind
the
of sneak out with a win.
They're usually right. Pretty good at home, so.
Yeah, I think that's a huge factor here. Next, we have the Jets at the Bills. Bills are 6.5-point favorites, very low, 39-point over-under. So, obviously, they're expecting more of a defensive battle, and I tend to agree here. Jets side, Andrew, who do you actually like?
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell, I'm starting in that same David Johnson type range. You know, this is a guy whose ceiling's going to be capped, especially in this Bills matchup. He's a, you know, he is a PPR back just like David Johnson, but there's it's such a weird situation with Adam Gase, but most likely where you drafted him, you're playing Lev Bell. Other than Lev Bell, you can take the shot on Jamison Crowder if you want. However, I really wouldn't against the Bills. This is going to be one of the best defenses in the league. Therefore, on the Jets side, I'm only playing Lev Bell.
Really? You don't like Chris Herndon at all? The tight end position?
No, is he officially confirmed back from the injury?
All the reports I've seen, he is back at practice. So I really see him as a target monster for Sam Darnold back there.
Yeah, if he is active and playing, I could see the argument for taking a shot on him there if you don't have a better option. I am just worried. I mean, with a 39-point over-under, that is... You know, that's, what is that, the lowest on the week? I think it is.
I believe it is. But, I mean, at that point, you're just looking for a PPR guy to kind of fill in, get some points that way. Maybe if he gets a touchdown, that's just an added bonus. That's if you're really thin at the tight end position. I would definitely take a shot on Chris Herndon there.
Even if you want to just stash him on your bench, that's fine, too. Because he is one of those types of guys where their offense does not have many elite players, so he could easily, you know, him and Jamison Crowder could be the two main targets of that offense, so stash him on your bench if you want as well.
And then on the Bills side, Josh Allen, I'm going to fire him up. I love Josh Allen this week. Running back position, Andrew, what in the world do we make of this backfield situation? Devin Singletary, Zach Moss, what do we do with this?
You know, I think it's going to be Singletary who's getting the majority of the work and have the most fantasy value. You know, we saw sparks from him and things happened last year. However, I'm definitely not starting either one of these guys. You can stash both of them on your bench, keep them there, see who emerges. This backfield could easily be very similar to the Lions backfield in the sense that they're going to be a good offense, but you just don't know who's going to produce and who's going to be the fantasy running back. Like, you know, we'll talk about the Lions coming up, but in Buffalo, Devin Singletary, even last year, he had opportunity, but he wasn't crazy good with it. So personally, I'm not starting either one of them.
Yeah, I tend to agree there. Last year, the Jets, they were ninth best against the fantasy running back. So while they do struggle in the win-loss column, they typically do have a pretty solid defense. Obviously, Jamal Adams not being there, that's a big factor now. I think that's going to affect things more in the passing game than the running game. They still have a pretty good defensive front there. So kind of buyer beware there with the running back situation. Wide receiver-wise, it's kind of a coin flip as well. The addition of Stephon Diggs kind of throws a wrinkle in things for a fantasy perspective. John Brown, I think he was great last year, especially where his ADP was last year. You tended to get John Brown later in the draft, and he definitely paid dividends for you. You probably could have gotten him around the same draft capital this year, but I don't think he's going to get quite the same returns because he was the bona fide number one guy last year. He was actually healthy, which is a great change of pace for his career. But Stephon Diggs in there now, that really makes things interesting for a fantasy perspective, like especially not having a preseason. You don't know what to expect with these guys, but I would definitely start Stephon Diggs. I'm not as certain on John Brown there. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I'm not looking to play him unless you're in a deeper league. If you have a three wide receiver league and you want to take the shot on him, that's okay. However, I'm not, you know, John Brown could easily be on your waiver wire. You know, if he doesn't put up points this first week, he's going to be on your waiver wire.
I completely agree. And I also love the Bills defense. I know you do too, Andrew.
Yep.
We'll talk about that stuff a little bit later.
Teaser.
Dun, dun, dun.
And for the winner of the game, I know you want to take the Jets, right?
No. I love the Bills in this matchup. I'm a big Sean McDermott guy. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Bills. It's a pretty easy one for me.
I'll take the Bills, too. So we've had the same picks for the first four.
Surprising. I really thought I'd have you on the Falcons one. I thought you'd be like, whoa, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah, no. I'm confident in Matt Ryan.
Yeah. And moving on, then, we have the Bears at the Lions. Lions are 3-point favorites in this one, 44.5-point over-under. We'll start on the Lions side. We got Matthew Stafford making his comeback. He had the broken back last year. Looking great so far in training camp. Great reports out of him. He's looking 100%, which is great. Running back-wise, not so much. There's a lot going on in that backfield. DeAndre Swift, he's banged up. You don't know if he's going to be ready to go week one. Probably not. And even if he is ready, I'm not starting him. You got Kerryon Johnson. He's got a knee brace. No big deal there. It's great. And then you sign the ageless wonder and Adrian Peterson. I don't know what you make of it. If it's me, I'm not going to start anybody in that backfield. I don't know if you have a different opinion or not on that one, Andrew.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not starting anyone in that backfield. Hypothetically, before Peterson signing, I would be okay with starting Kerryon Johnson. But now it's to the point where, you know, you can stash Peterson if you want, put him on your bench. I'm still not dropping Kerryon Johnson or DeAndre Swift yet, but Peterson could easily end up with like 15 carries in this game. And, you know, you might have a similar situation as you did in Washington. So I'm not starting any of these running backs at all this week.
I tend to agree there, but AP, maybe if you're really desperate, kind of,
or you can try if you want, but you know, your upside's probably capped.
I completely agree. Like, his upside is scoring a touchdown and you don't know if that's going to happen. Stafford loves to sling the ball around. So we'll see what happens. Wide receiver position, Kenny Golladay, make sure he's in your lineup. Don't overthink it. I don't care if he's playing the Bears, and if it's a bad matchup on paper, you're going to play Kenny Golladay no matter what. The man went off with basically nobody at quarterback. He had David Blau at quarterback, and he lit it up for the fantasy stats there. So I have no hesitation in playing him. Marvin Jones, you're going to fire him up as well. I think Galladay's probably a low-end wide receiver one. Marvin Jones, a low-end wide receiver two, if not a high-end flex this week. So I feel pretty good about both of those guys. T.J. Hockenson, I'd give him a spot start.
Yeah, he's not bad. I'd much rather start him over a guy like Greg Olsen or Will Disley or, a Washington tight end or Texans. You know, he's a decent start.
I completely agree. Defense-wise, I'm not looking to play the Lions defense. They typically aren't a great unit for a fantasy perspective. So I think that's it from the Lions side. You got Stafford, AP if you're really desperate and you want to roll the dice there. Then you got Galladay, Marvin Jones, and T.J. Hockenson. On to the Bears, Andrew.
Yeah, and before we get into Bears, I would note I could see Marvin Jones going off week one. He's one of those types of guys that he can easily get like two touchdowns, just rob Galladay's touchdowns. So just if you're looking for a high upside play in your flex spot and you're kind of debating between a few options, I don't mind a Marvin Jones start here.
Okay, in this situation, do you like Marvin Jones or DeSean Jackson?
Yeah, that's pretty tough. Oh man, that is tough.
I tend to lean DeSean there.
Man, I might lean Marvin Jones there. It's so tough for me though. They're both high upside plays. An argument could be made for both. That's really tough. That's really tough. But I think I lean Marvin Jones.
Okay.
So for the Bears side then, you're not playing Trubisky. You could try and stream him this week if you wanted to, but you have to hope for that rushing baseline. I'm not personally going to do that. And then for running backs, David Montgomery, he's not going to be playing in this game. You're waiting to hear, how's it going? He? Well, there was a report by Tariq Cohen claiming that he looks good. I still don't think he'll be playing in this game.
If you are a Montgomery owner there, it's definitely great news to hear that he is already coming back strong and he's looking great in practice already. So my feeling is if he misses week one, I think he'll be back for week two.
Yeah, and, depending on when you drafted, you got Montgomery at a great value, so he'll definitely be valuable down the line here. Wide receiver-wise, you're starting Allen Robinson every single week. You can take the shot on Anthony Miller, assuming he's active, good to go. Otherwise, yeah, that's about it. Anthony Miller, I'm only throwing in my flex if I have really no other options. I'm not even really looking to do that, though.
Anthony Miller, though, he's gotten a ton of rave reviews from Matt Nagy. So I think he definitely is a guy to keep an eye on. If he happens to be on your waiver wire, I would recommend picking him up now because I do think he is in store for a pretty solid week one. The target share, I think, will be there. He had a pretty strong ending to the 2019 season. So kind of just stay tuned with that. And maybe you could, if you snag him before the Sunday games, you maybe kind of stole one of the hot waiver wire commodities.
Yeah, I think he is a fine pickup. I would not start him in this game, though. Are you only starting Allen Robinson then from that Bears offense?
Probably. If you're really desperate, maybe a Tariq Cohen start as a flex. I feel okay with that, especially if David Montgomery is inactive for this one. I would feel pretty solid with that because I think he's going to get involved in the running game and in the passing game as well.
Yeah, I think that could be fine. Again, you're just playing with a little risk there. If you're fine with that, you could take the shot.
Now, who do you like for the game?
I'll take the Lions. Are we going to differ here?
Yeah, for the sake of being different, I think I'm going to go with Chicago there. I think the defense.
Wow.
I think defense week one will prevail. I think they're going to get a clutch stop at the end of the game. I think it will be relatively high scoring. I think Trubisky is going to play better than people think he will. So I think some points will be scored, but I think at the end of the day, I think it's going to come down to who makes that last stop. And I trust Chicago's defense a lot more than Detroit's.
I think I could understand that perspective a bit more if David Montgomery was active. I don't know how they're going to have a run game. Tariq Cohen is not a guy that you can just hand the ball to. He's not that type of guy. He's not a workhorse back. So
yeah, I think that's where they get creative there. So obviously you can kind of make the running game through the little check down pass. Yeah, or Cordell Patterson. They can get creative with that running game there. So it'll be quote unquote a run play, but it maybe could be like a little swing pass and just get him in space, something like that. So I think Matt Nagy he tends to get creative. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So this is me hoping that his creativity actually works.
putting your faith in Matt Nagy. Week one. How's that feel? I
don't love him as a coach, but I'm hoping it works out for him for this week.
All right, let's get into the next matchup then. We got the Packers at the Vikings. Minnesota's 3-point favorites. We have a 45-point over-under. This should also be a great game. Another game with two dominant offenses. At least they should be dominant offenses this year. They have some star players. On the Packers side, you're clearly starting Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers, I think he's going to be a fine play. The Vikings secondary hasn't been good. Aaron Rodgers should be good in this game. 45-point over-under should say that Rodgers should have a decent fantasy day. I don't know. Since they are in Minnesota, I doubt he's going to go off and have a crazy good week, but he could still finish as a QB1. Other than Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams, are you comfortable taking a shot on Jamal Williams, another, you know, Alan Lazard, anyone like that?
Yeah, so I'll pass on Jamal Williams there because I do think AJ Dillon will have a role as well. So I don't really trust those backups there behind Aaron Jones. But I will take a shot on Alan Lazard, especially if you're in somewhat of a deeper format, maybe as a flex option as well. Obviously, Rodgers, he wants to sling the ball around, ideally, and he has the ability to sustain two fantasy wide receivers. And like kind of like Anthony Miller, he's gotten very good reviews out of training camp. So if you want to take a shot on Alan Lazard, I wouldn't argue with you on that one.
Yeah, I think that's fine. And then for the Vikings side, do you expect them to get on track right away with Dalvin Cook coming back and Adam Thielen coming back from injury? Do you think their offense is just going to get going and they're going to beat the Packers here?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a heavy dosage of Dalvin Cook. We saw it a lot last year, especially early on, while the passing game's kind of finding their footing a little bit. Dalvin Cook's going to carry the reins and really just carry this offense in a sense. So I think they're going to try to rely on that running game a little bit more than usual there, especially as they have some new weapons. They have BC Johnson starting on the outside. They have Justin Jefferson as well, the rookie wide receiver. So a little bit more integration is required for this offense to get its passing game going. So I think you will see a lot of Dalvin Cook for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, I could see a scenario where they could limit Dalvin Cook in this game and maybe kind of ease him into the season. Either way, you're still starting him fantasy-wise, but, you know, maybe they only give him, you know, 15 carries or something.
And if that's the case, then Alexander Mattison, I think he's a fine flex play.
Yeah, I'm not confident enough to take the shot on Alexander Mattison, but I just think that Dalvin Cook could be a bit limited just to start the season. But, you know, and they could do that throughout the whole season. This could be a Todd Gurley type thing when, you know, he was limited because of his injury. Granted, he was actually injured during the time, but, you know, we'll see what happens. And then I guess, is there anyone else you wanted to talk about in this game that we didn't mention?
None really on the Vikings offensive side. Obviously, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook, you're going to fire those guys up. Not really too confident with Kyle Rudolph there. So, pretty limited fantasy options in this one. But who do you have winning this one, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Vikings in this one. I really much preferred it. A lot of the times, I generally pick home teams. I don't know why that is, but especially the Vikings getting Dalvin Cook back, Adam Thielen. I'm excited about the offense. I'm hoping the defense kind of shapes up a little bit and performs a little better. How do you feel about this one?
Yeah, I do think the Vikings will prevail here. Last year we saw Green Bay win a lot of really close one-score games. I'm not as high on them for a season-long perspective, and I think them losing those early one-possession games, I think that starts week one. So I think you're going to see a lot more adjustments be required after week one. I think they're going to try to come out and do a lot of the same things, and I think really not addressing the wide receiver position in the draft is going to come back to haunt Green Bay.
All right, so break down the Dolphins-Patriots game for us. Dolphins, are you excited about their offensive input here? Are they going to do well?
Ryan Fitzpatrick starting, so that's one thing. That's a plus, I guess.
He does have the Patriots number sometimes.
He does. So he's not a terrible option in a two-quarterback league. I wouldn't love it. I wouldn't hate it. You're just going to hope for some Fitz magic. He only has a limited amount throughout an entire season. He kind of picks and chooses where he wants to expend his magic. He had a full offseason to recuperate his stock of magic. So we'll see what he has left. So Fitzpatrick was okay as a start. Running back wise, I wouldn't hate the Jordan Howard start. I'm going to stay away from Matt Breida, at least for week one. Wide receiver, Devontae Adams. You probably invested probably a fifth, sixth round pick in him.
They got Devontae Adams this year.
Devontae Parker. I'm so sorry.
Dolphins are going to be better.
Devontae Parker, my mistake. Probably a fifth or sixth round pick on Devontae Parker. So you're probably going to have to start him. Mike Gesicki, probably not going to play him. If he's your only tight end, obviously suck it up. You got to play him at that point. He had a pretty good ending to the season last year, but that was with a lot of injuries like Preston Williams, or as Andrew calls him, Patrice. Yes. Remember that from last year. So Patrice is back. And yeah, when Patrice was in the game, he put up very strong numbers. And when he put up the numbers, Mike Gesicki really didn't for a fantasy value there. So didn't really see a lot come from Gesicki when Williams is healthy. So we're going to see how that translates into the 2020. So I'm not super high on him this week.
I don't mind the Gesicki start. And Devontae Parker, yeah, you might play him this week. I'm probably not looking to play any Dolphins if I can. Man, you can take your shot. If you're going to play anyone, it's going to be Devontae Parker. Yeah. I think Mike Gesicki could be a fine play. If you can maybe wait on it, that would be good. They are in New England against the Patriots here. And we didn't mention, but they're 6.5-point favorites, 42.5-point over-under. So, and I'm guessing most of those points are kind of allocated to the Patriots here. So,
yep.
And then for the Patriots side, it should be interesting. We got to see Cam Newton. How's he going to do in a Patriot uniform? And what do you expect to happen with their run game? Who's going to get the lion's share of the carries? Oh,
crap. Is the safe answer nobody? I don't really think anybody will be. You would think once Damian Harris went on IR that, oh, yeah, it'll just be Sony Michelle. He's going to get the lion's share. Nope, they said they're going to limit his touches as he's coming back from his foot injury. You got Rex Burkhead. He's never really a volume guy. James White, obviously, he has his role kind of like etched out there. Obviously, he's going to get a few carries. He's going to do well in the passing game. So I don't really trust anybody here. If you have to choose one, I'm going to go James White, obviously. He has great value from a PPR perspective especially. So he's the only running back I'm looking to start this week. Wide receiver-wise, you're obviously going to start Julian Edelman. That's probably it for me. I don't really like anybody else. Maybe if you want to take a shot on N'Keal Harry, go for it. He had very good reports out of camp. This is what we're going off of right now. Like, all we have to go off of is reports from training camp. You don't have the tape from preseason to go off of, which is typically a very good indicator what they could be this year. So it's a shot in the dark at this point. Harry looked good in camp, so that's all we really have to go off of. I'm not really trusting that for week one, especially since he did nothing in his rookie season. So buyer beware there.
Yeah, the only person I'm looking to play from New England is Julian Edelman or James White, I would say. I was going to just say Julian Edelman, but I think James White's name does need to be thrown out there because he produces for fantasy every single year. And, you know, I don't think we can forget about him. He is a flex play, and he does finish in the top. Honestly, he finishes as an RB1 some weeks, so.
Yeah, and don't forget this Miami defense. They didn't make some splashes in the offseason. They signed Byron Jones. They went and they got Kyle Van Noy. So two huge acquisitions there. So that unit is going to be better than it was last year. And they weren't necessarily terrible in that back half of the year. So I'm definitely looking for some improvements there. And Brian Flores, he's a defensive coach. He's going to draw some things up, and he's going to give it to his former team. So kind of beware that aspect as well.
And I think the Patriots defense is a great play in this game. I mean, probably any team this year against the Dolphins is going to be a great play. But especially the Patriots in this one, I would love to play them. And Cam Newton, I didn't mention him, but I think he's also a good play in this one as well.
I'm not as high on Cam for this week, especially. I really do think that Miami defense will be a much better unit than it was last year. I think they made some very strong acquisitions.
Would you rather play Cam or Mitch Trubisky against the Lions?
Oh, okay. That's not even close, Andrew.
Okay, then what about Cam or Dwayne Haskins?
I'd probably lean Haskins.
Wow.
I think Dwayne Haskins is going to be a lot better than people think he will be. I really have a feeling.
All right. Interesting.
Just look at the tape his last four games. He looked very solid. He had one of the better passer ratings in all of football, right around 100. So he really balled out in those last that last quarter of the year. So I'm looking for the translate over.
All right, let's move into the also
Patriots.
I'm going to take the Patriots. Yeah, we even need to discuss that one. Raiders Panthers. The Raiders are actually 3-point favorites, which I'm just now seeing this.
Yeah, big news.
I might just drive to Vegas right now because I'll take the Panthers in this game. 100%. Really? Yes. Oof. Give me the Panthers at home for sure.
We're differing here.
I am not going to bet against Christian McCaffrey at home. No shot. Oof. I do think Josh Jacobs could have a really good game, but I'm going to end up taking the Panthers with McCaffrey, Teddy Bridgewater, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Ian Thomas. But I will take the Panthers. I'll talk about their side while I'm kind of ranting. You're starting Christian McCaffrey. You're starting DJ Moore. Bridgewater, I think, is an okay play. There are some scenarios where you can play Bridgewater in this game. We don't know what the Raiders secondary is going to look like this year, but compared to other years, it's been quite bad. So I'm fine with streaming Bridgewater this week. And other than that, I think I'm going to stay away from guys like Curtis Samuel and Ian Thomas. That's probably it for the Panthers side. How are you feeling?
Yeah, so I tend to agree there with the Panthers side. If someone throws the name Robbie Anderson out there, I'm going to bench him as well.
Yeah.
Basically,
probably just on waivers.
Yeah, probably. I'm probably just going with DJ Moore and McCaffrey for this week. Raiders side, I love the Raiders offense. Like, their prognosis for this 2020 season. So, Josh Jacobs locked and loaded. He was my fantasy phenom at the running back position. So I love that pick there. Wide receiver wise,
Justin's dog also loves the pick.
I know he's going ahead. I apologize for that. Wide receiver wise, there's a few guys I'm considering playing here in this one. Maybe Henry Ruggs. I'm kind of looping Darren Waller in this as well. So Henry Ruggs, I might take a shot on as a flex, his rookie debut. Darren Waller as well. I'm definitely playing him after his strong performance last season. Had over 1,100 yards. So I'm looking for that to really kind of carry over to 2020. Derek Carr security blanket. One like very sneaky guy, maybe Bryan Edwards. Yeah, he was my sleeper pick for the wide receiver position for this season. So, yeah, so I think he may be a very sneaky play in a deeper format. Fire him up as well, because the two rookies, they're the starting wide receivers there. So a lot of unknown, nothing on tape for them. So I think you could see a little bit of a surprise there for that Raiders offense. And Derek Carr, he's a pretty competent quarterback, so I think he can get the job done against a now Luke Kuechly non-led Panthers defense. So I'm feeling pretty solid about this Raiders offense. I think it's going to be a pretty high-scoring game.
Yeah, let's just move into the Colts-Jaguars game. I think there's just some good points there. We're going to go through these next games a little bit quicker. We're about almost 44 minutes in, so I want to go through these next games so the podcast doesn't run too long for you guys. Also, if you guys are listening, you're still listening now, thank you guys for listening. Even up until this point, but let's get through these next round of matchups here. We have the Colts at the Jaguars. Indianapolis is favored by 8 points, 45.5 point over under. For the Colts side, I'm starting Jonathan Taylor. You can just take the shot. A lot of people probably will have to start him to, you know, where they drafted him. I think that's fine, but I really, his upside's capped. Don't expect very much from Jonathan Taylor this week, in my opinion.
I would prefer Marlon Mack here.
Yeah.
I would definitely start Marlon Mack this week.
Yeah. And wide receivers then, T.Y. Hilton, I think he's a perfectly fine play. I could see him having a great game. The reports in camp have been great about him and Phillip Rivers. Apparently they're on the same page. So I'm starting T.Y. Hilton for sure. Jack Doyle, take your shot on him if you want. With the Trey Burton injury, but You know, you're kind of at the bottom of the barrel there. Jaguars side, then, who are you playing, Justin?
Probably just DJ Chark at this point. I'm just staying as far away from that running back situation as possible.
No Chris Gardner Thompson?
Minshew. Yeah, I mean, Chris Thompson's probably the only guy I would consider as a flex play. I'm still not super crazy about it because you just don't know. He's brand new to that offense. You don't know what his role really will be there. Gardner Minshew, you're really desperate at that point. I don't really like his prognosis for this week. That Colts defense is going to be much improved. Adding DeForest Buckner, I think, will be huge for them. It's probably just going to be DJ Chark for me. In this one, maybe Tyler Eifert if you're super, super thin at tight end. That's probably about it.
Then let's go to the Browns-Ravens game. Baltimore is the favorite by 8 points. Also, before we get into this, in that previous game, are you taking the Colts or Jags?
Colts.
You're taking the Colts? I'll take the Colts too. All right, Browns-Ravens. Browns side, you're starting Nick Chubb. You're starting Odell. Jarvis Landry is a borderline flex play. I think he's up against a good defense, so I think Jarvis Landry is a borderline flex play. And that's probably it for the Browns offense. If you want to play Austin Hooper, that's fine as well. What do you think about the Browns offense there?
Yeah, so I tend to agree there as well. Hooper is a little bit of a question mark for me because obviously they also do have David Njoku there. So I think it's going to be a wait and see for me. Likely where you got Austin Hooper, you could probably afford to kind of sit and wait. But if you want to fire him up, I don't have any issue with it. So on the Ravens side then, obviously Lamar Jackson, you're going to fire him up. Mark Ingram, definitely. He's a very safe RB2 for this week. And then Hollywood Brown, I'm playing him. He's probably the only wide receiver I'm playing from that team. Then Mark Andrews as well. I think it's a pretty simplistic start sit you for the Ravens there. Yep. Anybody else?
No, I think that's pretty much it. We covered that one. Also, guys, if you guys have any more questions about these games, sorry we're running through these last ones pretty quick. Just ask us on Twitter if you guys have any in-depth start sit questions that we didn't get to. Chargers Bengals then.
We're also both taking the Ravens there.
Yeah, I mean, so. Yeah, we're gonna take the Ravens. Chargers Bengals. Why don't you break down both sides of that one for us?
Okay, so Chargers side, obviously Austin Eckler, you're gonna fire him up. I'm probably not starting Tyrod Taylor. Maybe in a 2-quarterback league, he's a very low end play for me. Nothing more than that. Wide receiver position, Keenan Allen, you're gonna play him. His upside probably isn't what it used to be with Phillip Rivers, but that floor is incredibly safe. And if he scores a touchdown, maybe two, then you're rolling in it at that point. PPR format, I'm feeling extremely good about him. He has the floor of the wide receiver two there, so I feel great. Tight end, I'd play Hunter Henry as well, especially where you drafted him. You're going to play him. Then Cincy side, I don't know if I'm going to take a shot at Joe Burrow. I'm going to have him on my bench. If he's on your waiver wire, I'm going to pick him up and stash him. Joe Mixon, you're going to start him. AJ Green, it's going to be difficult. The Chargers have a pretty solid secondary, so I'm going to kind of temper my expectations with this unit this week, especially his first game fully back in about 2 years. You have Tyler Boyd as well. I'd probably play him. John Ross, another stash guy, if you are in a deeper league there. That's probably it for the Bengals.
Yeah, I agree. And then in terms of who we're taking in this game, oh, man, this is going to be close. But honestly, I'm going to take Joe Burrow to get his first win at home.
I'm going to go with the Chargers in this one.
Okay. All right, let's go to the Bucks and Saints. Before we get into it, I do want to somewhat breaking news that was kind of released today about Mike Evans. He didn't practice, and he is officially dealing with a hamstring injury. This is going to be something to monitor. If he's out there, you're probably playing him, especially in Bucks-Saints game, where these games are always high scoring. It is a 49-point over-under. Just be aware. I doubt that he's going to sit. This is such an important game. First game of the season, divisional matchup. Do you think he's going to sit?
It depends. How hamstrings are very tricky. If it's like an ankle or a knee or something,
limited snaps, maybe.
Yeah, I think he would give it a go. Hamstrings are just so tricky. I think he's going to try everything. I think it literally will be a game time decision for him. So you definitely do need to monitor this one extremely close.
Then the rest of the Bucks. Then Chris Godwin, you're starting. Tom Brady, I think he's a decent play. Don't expect crazy upside, but in a game where it's a 49-point over-under, he should be a pretty safe play this week. And then for running backs, Ronald Jones, you can take your shot on him. I think he is a fine flex play. Leonard Fournette might work, you know, might eat into that workload a little bit, but I know you're starting Ronald Jones this week, Justin. Are you confident in him in this matchup? Or
yeah, I do feel pretty fine with him overall. He's in there right now for me at my flex, so I think he's gonna have that upside there. Obviously Leonard Fournette's not gonna eat into his workload too much for week one, especially. So I think the most Fournette's gonna get like 7 or 8 touches. He might get some goal line work, but I think Ronald Jones will be that 3-down guy for the most part.
And then I'll just break down the Saints side real quick. Alvin Kamara, you're playing. Latavius Murray, if you want to take a shot on him as a flex, you can. He could easily provide that, you know, goal line production, but I'd probably leave him on my bench. Wide receiver, you're playing Michael Thomas. That's all I'm going to play. Drew Brees. I would say the big three, Drew Brees, Kamara, and Michael Thomas. Jared Cook is probably a good tight end play as well this week. Based on how the tight end landscape is, I'd play Jared Cook if I have him.
And who are you taking in this one?
I'm going to take the Saints, I think. Saints at home. It's going to be a close game, but I'm not going to go against Drew Brees at home.
Yeah, I was leaning Tampa Bay until the Mike Evans injury, so I'm going Saints.
Okay. All right, why don't you break down the Cardinals 49ers for us real quick?
Yeah, so the Cardinals 49ers, the Cardinals side, I think it's pretty simple. I'm starting Kyler Murray despite the bad matchup. Kenyon Drake, you're going to be starting him. Too much draft capital there. Then wide receiver-wise, I'm going to be starting DeAndre Hopkins. I'm going to be stashing on my bench. Christian Kirk, I'm not firing him up this week. I don't love the matchup on paper, but I'm just going to kind of keep a close eye on him. Maybe he's kind of like a buy-low target, if especially he doesn't get too much work in week one. I do love his season-long prognosis, though. And on the 49er side, Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm probably not starting him either. I'm not a very good fantasy quarterback. Good real-life quarterback, not great for fantasy purposes. Running back, I'm going to be starting Raheem Mostert for sure. Fire him up. In the receiver position, that's where things get a little tricky. Debo Samuel, he was dealing with that foot injury. He looks potentially on track to play. If he is active, I'm still not going to be starting him in my lineup, but obviously keep a close eye on him, especially if he does blow up for week one, which I think is definitely in the cards for sure. Not a lot of wide receivers I'm looking to play here. Brandon Ayuk, I know he's still dealing with his injury. I don't know what he's going to be doing week one. It's a very tricky situation for that wide receiver core right now. George Kittle, definitely fire him up. I feel great about George Kittle this week, especially with the depleted wide receiver core. A lot of targets are coming Kittle's way.
And in terms of who we're taking, I'll take the 49ers.
I agree.
All right. Sunday night game, Cowboys and Rams. Cowboys side is pretty straightforward in terms of you're starting Zeke, you're starting Dak, you're starting Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is dealing with an injury. I don't know how that's going to limit him in this game, but you're still starting him if he's active. And wide receiver, you're probably starting Michael Gallup. I think he's going to be a fine play in this game as well. It's a 51.5-point over-under. CeeDee Lamb, I'm not starting. You can keep him stashed on your bench, though. And Blake Jarwin is a good play at tight end. Justin expects him to break out. He's a fan of him this year. The Rams side then, Justin, who are you comfortable in playing?
Yeah, on the Rams side, Jared Goff, I do feel pretty good about him this week. I think that Cowboys secondary is going to be kind of depleted, especially with the loss of Byron Jones there. That's going to go very much noticed in week one. Running back-wise, I'm probably staying away from this group and as a whole for week one. Malcolm Brown is projected to start. So if you're desperate, you need to take a shot on somebody for that running back spot. I would, if I'm very desperate, I would start Malcolm Brown there, but I'm not going to like it. The receiver position, starting Robert Woods as well as Cooper Kupp. Not a guy that I'm looking to start this week, but keep an eye on the Van Jefferson for the Rams, their second round pick. Keep an eye on him. for kind of season-long prognosis here. Maybe he could overtake Josh Reynolds for that third receiver position. He looked pretty good in camp. So, yeah, keep an eye on him there. And Tyler Higbee, I love Tyler Higbee this week. Little hint there. He's my start of the week at the tight end position. So
spoiler.
The Cowboys, they were very bad against the tight end last year, and I don't think that defense got much better at all for 2020, on paper at least. So I'm looking for the Rams to really exploit that weakness in the Cowboys' secondary this week with Higbee.
And does that mean you're taking the Rams in this one?
That is correct.
I am also taking the Rams. You are only person taking the underdog.
And the Cowboys in this one, they are 3-point favorites, 51.5 point over-under, so expect a lot of points here.
Then the Monday night games, there's two of them. The first is the Steelers at Giants. Pittsburgh is favored. On the Steelers side, you're playing James Conner. You're playing Juju Smith-Schuster and Ben Roethlisberger.
Take a shot on Deontay Johnson.
You can. I think it's fine. You know, he has gotten hype. Big Ben came out and talked about him today. You know, it's fine if you want to take a shot on him. This is probably a good matchup to do so. Big Ben, I'm fine playing him. Tight end, if you want to take a shot on Eric Ebron.
That's gotten a lot of hype.
Sure, yeah, you can take a shot on Ebron. I don't mind that if you're, you know, you're banking on the touchdown. But and then the Giants side, you're going to be playing Saquon in this one. I think you might want to start him. Wide receivers, I think Sterling Shepard is a decent start. Giants wide receivers are injured here. Darius Slayton was dealing with an injury, and Golden Tate is also injured. So I think Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram are going to be the two main beneficiaries of that. Is there anyone else you're taking that I didn't mention from the Steelers-Giants game?
Yeah, so Giants-wise, I'm looking to really start a Saquon, Sterling Shepard, and Evan Ingram. I think those are the three big beneficiaries for the current situation going on. So any of those three guys I feel fine with. And the Steelers side, I think you basically hit the nail right on the head there.
Yeah. And I will take the Steelers.
I will as well.
Okay. All right, Titans-Broncos, the other Monday night game. Justin, who are you starting on both sides of this one?
Both sides, Titans-wise, I think that Von Miller injury is going to be a huge factor in this one. Not having him is a huge difference for that entire matchup there. So Titans, obviously, you're going to be starting Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown. Those are two no-brainers there. Jonnu Smith, I feel fine with, especially now after that injury. They're now down Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. So that defense is already depleted compared to last year, and that's just another big loss for them. I would even consider streaming Ryan Tannehill at this point. Lack of pass rush, secondary is not as good as it used to be. This Denver defense could be pretty vulnerable, and I think Tannehill could exploit that. Tannehill was one of the top options at the fantasy quarterback position last year down the stretch, so he might be able to continue that, especially in week one with the current situation. And then on the Broncos side, it's kind of difficult. That Titans defense, I think, is pretty formidable. It's tough. Drew Lock, I'm not going to take that shot this week. The running backs, I'm staying away at least for week one. You probably have to start Melvin Gordon. I'm not starting Phillip Lindsay at this point. Wide receiver wise, I love Sutton as a talent. I'm going to temper expectations a little bit. Probably a low end wide receiver two for this week. He's going to get that volume. And tight end wise, I know Andrew Love, Noah Fant. I don't know how you feel about him for this matchup, though. If I have a better option, I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, he doesn't project to be a great tight end for this matchup, and, you know, 41.5 point over under, and not exactly what you want from a tight end that can hit on big plays. That over under is projecting it to be a low scoring game. You know, I am still fine with taking the shot on Fant. Just you're probably not going to have a blow up game out of him. So, I in the game, I'm taking the Titans.
I agree. I'm taking the Titans as well.
Now, if Von Miller and Bradley Chubb are there, are you taking the Broncos?
I think I might there. I think that they're that big of a difference maker. They're going to collapse the pocket, force Tannehill to really rush his decisions. I'm not really sure who's going to replace them at all at this point. Like, no one's going to replace that value that those two guys have. So I think it's going to be a lot of clean pockets for Tannehill, and that, like, when that pocket's clean, he could be kind of dangerous. So I look for that to really be the case this week. We're going to move into our phenomenal starts of the week. I know we already talked about a lot of these guys, so this is going to be pretty quick. Andrew, who's your start of the week at the quarterback position?
I have Josh Allen going up against the New York Jets. Look, the Jets are probably going to be one of the worst teams in general this year. Just based on their injuries, they traded away Jamal Adams. Josh Allen projects to be one of the best fantasy quarterbacks this year. So just that combination alone, and they're at home, I'll take Josh Allen in what should be a really, really safe floor for him this week.
I'm going to have a little bit of a sleeper pick at the quarterback position. I'm going to go with Ben Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Giants this week. Making the comeback this season, he says, means a lot to him. He's going to look to ball out as much as possible, make up for last year. So I think he's going to really have an inspired performance, especially in week one. He's currently that, like, if you're looking at rankings around, like, all the different formats, he's probably that 10, 11, 12 range this week. And I think he's a lot of upside. I think he could finish within that top five. So if you're on that fringe there, back end quarterback one, take a shot on Big Ben.
Yeah, then for the running backs, I'm taking Austin Eckler up in Cincy. This is a really interesting game here. There's some young guns like Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon. We're going to see how they do. Austin Eckler just seems like one of the consistent pieces that stayed around for that Chargers offense, along with Keenan Allen. I just don't see a scenario where Austin Eckler doesn't get targeted. I mean, Justin Jackson is battling an injury, and I don't expect them to hand the ball off to their rookie very often, Joshua Kelly. So Austin Eckler seems, you know, locked and loaded for a good amount of touches this game. I don't know how many carries he's going to get, but he should be seeing a lot of passing work this game. So I'm firing up Austin Eckler with confidence.
And my running back start is Miles Sanders of the Eagles at the Washington football team. So Miles Sanders last year was one of the blossoming stars in the second half of the year.
I'm happy about this.
I know. Literally, our starts of the week are both of your starting running backs. So you must feel pretty good about yourself right now. So Sanders, he's a very effective player in the passing and the running game. And with a couple key offensive skill position players down in potential Jalen Reagor and Alshon Jeffrey, they're out this, most likely out, both out this week. I've looked for Sanders to really pick up the volume in the passing game and still getting that work on the ground. So great fantasy asset for you this week. I have no doubt about it. I think he has the potential to be a top three guy this week.
Oh, I love to hear that. All right, moving over to wide receiver. I have Adam Thielen. Where you drafted him this year, you know, depending on your roster, he could easily be a flex consideration for you. He was going in some fourth rounds, so depending on how you drafted, he might be one of your flex options. I'm giving you the confidence to plug him in against Green Bay at home. He's the guy. There's no Stephon Diggs anymore. Adam Thielen, he's healthy. Take advantage of playing Adam Thielen while he's healthy, because if he does get injured, you know, you're in for some trouble, because we saw what happened last year. So get that value out of Adam Thielen in a decent matchup against Green Bay.
And my starter of the week is Juju Smith-Schuster of the Steelers at the Giants. So like basically, like I said with Big Ben, he's going to play inspired. He's going to have to air the ball out in week one, really ball out. The ball's got to go to someone. Why not his number one target? We're going to go with Juju, obviously, here. He has also wants to really improve on that season he had last year. He had a very poor season statistically last year, and he's going to definitely look the ball out, especially with his quarterback returning. So please start Juju. Don't have a doubt about it. If you're not confident, hopefully this helps kind of give you a little boat of confidence.
Yeah. Smith-Schuster is going to be a really interesting one to watch this season, because he's either going to blow up and be a top 12 wide receiver, or he's probably going to completely flop. I don't really think there's going to be much of a middle ground. I think he's either going to go off or have a bad season. So it'll be really interesting to see. Then moving over to my tight end, I have Evan Ingram. This is, you know, he's going up against Pittsburgh. They are at home. The main reason I'm making the start is because, again, with like Adam Thielen, Evan Ingram's actually healthy and is going to be in the game. And the Giants are dealing with injuries with Darius Slayton and Golden Tate. They don't have that many receiving options. So, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be Evan Ingram. It's going to be Sterling Shepard and Saquon Barkley. There's your Giants offense.
And my start of the week at the tight end position is Tyler Higbee of the LA Rams. Last 5 weeks of the season, he finished no worse than 18.6 fantasy points, and he went over 20 points three times in that span. So, and there's a lot of reports coming out of camp. He's looking great, and they're going to run a lot of 12 personnel. So I'm looking especially for Higbee to blow up, especially against that poor defense in Dallas against a tight end. So look for Higbee to go off.
Then over to our defenses. In general, we recommend to stream a defense each week. Look at your waiver wire, see what the defense is. You know, if you have a matchup against the Dolphins, against the Jets, against the Redskin or Washington football team. If you have
a matchup
against one of these guys, you probably want to play the defense. So that's why I'm recommending the Buffalo Bills at home against the Jets. It doesn't get much better than this for the Bills. Start up the Buffalo Bills and watch the Sam Darnold interceptions pour in.
My defensive start of the week, I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts at the Jaguars. And the Colts are probably a defense you could probably even pick off the waiver wire right now. Make sure you do it. I'm going to be looking for this Jaguars matchup probably almost all season long. Very poor offensive unit. Just look at their roster at this point. Not a lot of options to really go to outside of DJ Chark. So, yeah, take advantage of that. DeForest Buckner, like I said before, with this matchup, he's going to be a huge beneficiary. This year, he's going to really, I think he's going to go off, and he's a great asset, especially to stop the run. That's what they're going to try to do with this very poor running back group. And when they air it out, a lot of issues are going to come for Gardner Minshew because that pass rush is going to come after him.
And that is all of our phenomenal starts. I'll go through them. On Justin's side, he has Ben Roethlisberger, Miles Sanders, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyler Higbee, and the Colts defense. Meanwhile, I have Josh Allen, Austin Eckler, Adam Thielen, Evan Ingram, and the Bills defense. Thank you guys for listening to the show. If you guys have any questions at all regarding your lineups, waiver ads, trades, start sits, whatever you guys need, reach out to us on social media. You can follow us at the FF Phenoms, follow Justin at Justin Herforth, follow me at Phenom AC. Anything else you want to say to our fine listeners out there, Justin?
No, if you made it this far, thank you guys so much. Hope you guys have a great week one. If you have any questions, make sure you reach out to us, especially once kickoff comes. So we'll be here to help you along the way. So until next time, guys, peace.
Go Eagles. Peace.